Welcome to The Forest and the Trees, global and local perspectives on the environment with your host, Melinda Tuhus. So for this month's show, I'm going to be speaking with a couple of advocates of non-motorized transit and public health and how they fit together and how these issues also reflect the need for racial equity in New Haven. And we're all wearing our masks, so we might sound a little fuzzy, but, you know, safety first. So I have with me today Sam Haken, who is a volunteer with an organization, a relatively new organization, called New Haven Coalition for Active Transportation. And I have Devin Avshalom Smith, who is with CARE. To see if I can remember what it says, what it means. Is it community? Okay, Community Alliance for Research and Engagement. Yay! I've only been hearing about this for decades. Okay, so I think we'll give priority to age of the organizations and let Devin go first. And I'm just going to preface this by saying that I was one of the founders of the first bike advocacy group, at least in the 20th century in New Haven, called Elm City Cycling. And while we did have a few active members of color, it was a predominantly white organization and stayed predominantly white up until the current time. And, you know, that doesn't reflect the people who bike, and it doesn't reflect people who basically don't use motorized transportation. So we're going to talk about, you know, what these two groups are doing to change that. So, Devin, just tell us your job title and what you do with CARE and what CARE's mission is.
My name is Devin Avshalom Smith, and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator with CARE. And the mission of CARE is to promote racial and health equity for residents in New Haven, Connecticut. What I do with CARE is go out into the community and cultivate relationships with community members as well as organizations, including municipal representatives and departments, in order to work together on really targeted efforts to improve racial equity and health equity within New Haven, with specific focus on the six underserved neighborhoods in New Haven, which are the Dwight neighborhood, Dixwell, New Hallville, Fairhaven, The Hill, and West Rock.
Great, thanks. And let me pass it over to Sam to let you do the same thing and talk about, I know your organization is newer, and tell us what your specific mission is.
Sure. So the New Haven Coalition for Active Transportation advocates for safer cycling and walking throughout New Haven. And the primary way that we do this is actually by offering bike education classes free of charge to anybody who would like to learn how to ride their bike more safely on the roads.
Talk a little bit more about that. What do the bike classes consist of, and who's been involved in taking them?
Sure. So I've attended one of the classes myself, so I can speak from experience. So they're taught by league cycling instructors, who are folks who are certified by the only bike education certification program in the United States to teach bike safety. And essentially what the class consists of is a course on best practices for riding your bike safely in the road. So where in the lane do you ride? How do you interact with drivers? How do you wear your helmet? How do you wear your lights and your clothing to make you safer as you ride? And then part two of the class involves actually going on a ride with a bike instructor or two, and practicing these skills on the road.
And I know that I was talking to the founder of your group, and Karen Jenkins. She was saying that they're all filled up. So what kinds of people, the age, gender, race, income, whatever?
Sure. So because we offer these classes free of charge, we see a really wide swath of the population participating in them. The class that I attended was majority people of color, There were folks there who were organized by the Freedom Riders, which is a group that organizes bike rides for folks of color in New Haven. And from what I've heard from Karen, the classes really have attracted, as I said, a really wide swath of the population here.
Does that include children, young people as well, or teenagers?
The class that I attended only had adults in it, but the classes are open to people of multiple ages.
Because I know there's another bike advocate, Joel Lachance, who's been advocating for very aggressively, assertively, enthusiastically for the last few years to get cycling, safe cycling taught in the schools. And it's been up and down, and apparently it isn't happening yet, but I guess he feels like he's getting closer maybe in one school or another. And yeah, it's just, if nobody teaches it, people don't know what's safe. And I mean, I don't know how I learned, you know, what side of the road to ride on and how to signal. I mean, I do know all that, and I feel it was almost by osmosis, but children who don't learn, you know, they don't know. And you see people riding on the wrong side. It's really scary. So, Devin, just tell us more about Karen. And I think this work that you're doing, it fits into, this is only part of your the portfolio of the organization, right?
That's correct. So what Kara's working on in regards to human-powered modes of transportation is the Active Transportation Plan, or Safe Routes for All. And this is a part of the REACH grant through the CDC, REACH meaning Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. So we started out last year by doing 6 demonstration projects in the communities of focus that I named earlier. And the purpose was really to try to find ways to increase pedestrian safety in walkways. Generally, we found that the demonstration projects we've done created a 34% decrease of time that folks had to spend in crosswalks. And we reclaimed approximately 19,492 square feet of roadway for pedestrians.
That's impressive. Those statistics are really, it's very interesting, both of those things, because I've seen them. They're multicolored, right? And they kind of come out from the curb into the street, right? And make it seem, well, I guess if you count just paint, it is, you know, narrowing the street.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's important at CARE with the racial and the health component that we acknowledge that Black and brown communities actually spend a lot of time engaging in active transportation. As a matter of fact, 1 in 2 Black and Hispanic adult residents have access to a car very often, but 1 in 5 Black and Hispanic residents mostly use the bus to commute, and 1 in 5 Black residents and 1 in 4 Hispanic residents report that there are not safe spaces to bike in their neighborhoods. So what we're doing is taking these things into consideration and linking them with the fact that chronic disease in New Haven is really high among these populations, in part due to the inability to remain active, which is why we're working with the city to create the Active Transportation Plan, which is really a street-by-street assessment of ways in which to improve our environment and make it more conducive to human-powered modes of transportation.
And on that note, sadly, we have to report that, I guess, just yesterday, another pedestrian was killed on a street that has seen, just earlier this year, another pedestrian death, I mean, in a similar, very nearby spot. So, yeah, it's really so unnecessary. And I went to a conference last year at the University of New Haven in West Haven about zero... What's it called? Not zero tolerance. Plan Zero or something to basically eliminate pedestrian fatalities. And I guess, I'm not sure if that includes bike fatalities too. But anyway, it's just the numbers have gone up dramatically, I think, over the last few decades for two reasons. And I think this would be borne out, but I don't have the statistics in front of me. But one is, quite a while ago, back in the 70s until, and I don't remember when it ended, there was a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit on highways because of the gas shortage from, you know, the oil imports from oil importing countries where, you know, they weren't selling to the U.S., whatever. So there wasn't a lot. And so the way to, partly the way to make it go further was to lower the speed limit. So, and there was a noticeable drop in the number of deaths. And then also I think there's a lot of distracted driving that's gotten worse. And when I'm out on my bike, you know, if I take a lane, which I'm entitled to do, if I feel like that's the safest place, if I take a lane that is also occupied by a motor vehicle, you know, I'm kind of scared. But then if I'm riding along the side of the road, I thought, well, if somebody's texting, it doesn't really matter if I'm in front of them or to the side of them, they can still run into me and I could still be dead. So I try to be, I'm really pretty assertive for a woman of my age. I'm just out there. And, you know, I do claim my space. And actually I haven't had, for whatever reason, I haven't had a lot of pushback from motor vehicles. I mean, some friends of mine are always telling me horror stories, and maybe I'm just it's just coincidence, or I'm lucky, or I don't know. But I haven't personally had a lot of, you know, nasty interactions with people or really close calls. So, yeah, I think the other thing that I was reading a few years ago in a national bicycling organization, or a bike and ped, they broke cycling and walking into five quintiles by income. And, you know, a lot of people, I think a lot of people in New Haven think that only like rich white kids bike or something. But it was interesting, as I recall, it was the top quintile, but then also the bottom quintile. Those were the two biggest quintiles where people tend to bike, but more biking than walking, I think. And, you know, at the lower end, presumably, if people could afford cars, they wouldn't be biking. Although I would like to think that somebody, even if they could afford a car, would still want to bike, because it's such a great way to get around. So, Sam, tell me about, you know, goals for the future. I know one thing that happened just pre-pandemic. There was Karen, the founder of New Haven Coalition for Active Transportation, was talking about bringing what we call ciclovia to New Haven, and I was so excited. And she did a presentation with somebody else she had worked with in New Brunswick, New Jersey, I think. And I was really excited. And then, and of course, nothing's been happening. But I mean, for people who may not know what a ciclovía is, it's a Spanish word for basically an opportunity to where streets are closed off to motor vehicles, and they can bike, they can walk, they can rollerblade, they can play hopscotch. They basically take the streets. Because when you think about it, and I've read this data too, which I don't have in my head, about the percentage of land in the U.S. that's covered with highways, you know, roads of all kinds, it's pretty shocking. And it's actually one of the biggest contributors to the climate change problem that we're having too. So tell us a little bit about what... you know, what the future might hold. I mean, things are a lot up in the air because of COVID, but what would you like to see happen?
Sure, so a lot. So, because you mentioned the ciclovía, I will say that that's definitely still a goal of ours. We would love to see that in New Haven one day soon. And kind of the silver lining of the pandemic, an odd silver lining, is that many more people are cycling than before. So our bike shop here in town, the Devil's Gear, has been super busy, like preparing people's bikes, selling new ones. And the mayor shut down some roads in East Rock Park to allow folks to use those pathways for multimodal transportation. So a lot more people walking and cycling along those paths now, which we love to see. We also recently supported the launch of the 20 is Plenty campaign. As you mentioned, the faster you drive, the more fatal you may be if you strike a pedestrian or a cyclist. So we're really hoping that folks in New Haven will consider driving at 20 miles per hour or less when they drive around the city, especially in residential areas and near schools, to improve their driving safety. And yes, so we're hoping to get cycling in schools. That's another thing that you talked about, adding cycling to the curriculum for children. The last thing that I will mention is that we would love to train more league cycling instructors so that we can continue offering classes to folks who want to learn how to cycle more safely around the city. So those are the few of the things that we've got coming up in the future.
Great. And I should mention that when you mention league cycling instructors, that's the League of American Bicyclists, which is the oldest bicycle advocacy organization in the U.S. And it, for many, many years, until fairly recently, was called the League of American Wheelmen. And they finally decided to get with the 21st century, so changed their name. And I know that Karen was on the board, I think, or president of the board of that. So she brought all that interest here to New Haven. You said something that I wanted to... Oh, yeah, the thing about the 20 is plenty is so interesting. I was... because of a knee injury, I haven't been able to ride my bike as much. So I drove to that 20 is plenty press conference, and I was driving home and down Whitney Avenue. Now, that's not a street where they're promoting the 20 mile an hour, but it's 25 now, 25 miles an hour. It is so hard to drive 25 miles an hour. I mean, I had cars piling up behind me. I don't think anybody honked, but I could tell they were so impatient. And I just can't imagine driving 20 miles, but you know, on a side street or downtown or by a school, it's a great idea. And a city has to get a special dispensation from the state to enact a speed limit under 25 miles an hour. So my understanding is that maybe, you know, some reps to the state legislature might try to put that through. But you're nodding your head, Devin. What do you want to say about this?
Well, I'd like to say that for CARE, our next stop is definitely continuing to work on the active transportation plan. So the New Haven Active Transportation Plan, it really prioritizes the city's communities of color and making streets safer for walking, biking, or taking the bus by working with communities to develop a set of individual strategies. So we're looking street by street, really. And a part of building this plan is understanding areas that need improvement, specifically related to missing pavement markings, signage, pedestrian signals, and sidewalk ramps. So we're really encouraging residents to get involved by going on C-Click-Fix to report what they see in their neighborhoods. And also, we have an active transportation survey going around now about our demonstration projects that we did, which folks can find on our website.
Great. So, you know, the terrain for bike advocacy groups has changed so much in the last 20 years. As I said, when we formed Elm City Cycling, we were the only game in town, and we worked with the city. We actually wrote at least one, if not two, of the applications to be, I guess that's LAB too, right? They took it over from another organization, the designation of community friendly cities, bike-friendly communities, I should say. And we got honorable mention when we didn't even hardly deserve that, because I think it was just because we submitted an application, because we didn't have much going on way back in the early aughts. But over time, you know, there has been a lot more. And I've been biking in New Haven since the late 80s. And, you know, I feel like, yeah, it could be a lot better, but I feel like, you know, there's definitely improvements. And I feel like, you know, they say if you get a critical mass of cyclists, it's safer for everyone. Because if there's just an occasional cyclist, it's easy for a, you know, motorist to sort of not see them. In fact, when they hit them, they often say, oh, I didn't see that person. I didn't see that cyclist. But if there's a lot of them, you know, it's really much harder to miss. And it really, you know, causes most drivers at least to slow down. Yeah, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just want to add to that. Personally, I've been hit by cars twice while cycling, not in the city of New Haven, but in another Connecticut city. And it really was due to exactly what you just said, the, oh, I didn't see you. And I think it really is just about, like you said, normalizing for motorists having bicycles in the streets, sharing the roadway, also respecting pedestrians as they cross, And I think that, Kara, we found that statistically, black and brown folks are more likely to get hit by as a pedestrian crossing the street.
Did you say in New Haven you found that to be the case, or I wasn't sure?
The statistics are really countrywide data, but like national data, but generally most people are even more at risk of being struck by a vehicle as a pedestrian than of being shot.
That is such a good point, because it was, I was saying before, you know, because of whatever different factors, there's like 36,000 people every year in the U.S. are killed on roads. 36,000. I mean, that's an enormous number. Now, if you compare it to the people who have died of COVID in just 6 months, it seems like not a big number, which tells you something about how big a number the COVID death number is. But it is pretty shocking. I think partly it seemed like when they were studying the deaths of pedestrians and cyclists in New Haven, it seemed like there was a preponderance of people killed after dark. Just, you know, when there's a report of a pedestrian or even a cyclist being hit or injured or killed, you know, I always want to blame the driver. And if the driver were driving slower, you know, there would be less injury and death. But if the driver's driving the legal speed limit, you know, we also have to look at the behavior of the pedestrian and the cyclist. I mean, if somebody's dashing across the street and against the light and they get hit, I mean, it's hard to blame the motorist for that. But I think everybody just, but I mean, partly that happens because people, there aren't safe places, safe times for people to cross. I mean, unless you have a crosswalk with a timed light, you're really on your own. And you know, I think that's what leads to some of these problems. So we don't have too much time left, but let me just ask if, you know, I'm sure there's lots of things we didn't cover yet. The one thing I wanted to mention, I didn't include them in our conversation today, but I just wanted to mention them. There's a group that's gotten started recently called Safe Streets Coalition, and I know they're working closely with CARE, and I'm sure you're all working together, so that's good. And actually, I guess maybe I would, as a closing round, I would ask each of you how you think all the different groups that now exist in New Haven promoting cycling and pedestrian safety and all that, how we might work together better. Do you have any thoughts? Sam or Devin, do you have any thoughts?
Absolutely. I think that we all should work together upon our strengths, because, you know, you have organizations like NHCAT, you have Safe Streets, Go New Haven, Go, Elm City Cycling. Everyone has unique areas of expertise. And for me, this is really an open call to all of those organizations to come to CARE and work with us, since we're working directly with the city. And the plan that's being mapped out and plotted out is going to be implemented as a point of reference for the city. We want everyone's voice to be heard. And the strength that these groups, these resident groups have, is that we can all get together and make sure we cast a very wide net to ensure that everyone from various different neighborhoods get to weigh in on this active transportation plan that we're trying to create. So I think there's strength in numbers. So I encourage all of us to just come together, come work with me, come work with CARE. And I think Sam will tell you, I'm always just looking for an exchange of ideas so that we can figure out what best suits everyone.
Okay, so if people do want to work with CARE, people who've had experience, you know, different arenas around biking and pedestrian issues, what do they do?
Certainly. So one thing, the first thing is go on See Click Fix for the immediate, to report things that you see in your neighborhood. The next thing is to reach out to me directly, Devin Avshalom Smith. You can reach me via email at V as in Victor, S as in Sam, H-A, L as in Lima, O, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, D as in Delta, 1, @southernct.edu. It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, but you said it nice and slowly, so I think that people got it. So I want to thank Sam and Devin for this conversation. I think this is something near and dear to my heart, and we will all carry on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And just to echo what Devin said, we'd love for folks to get involved with NHCAT. One thing that I want to mention is that Bike to Work Week is actually this month, and it's coming up in just a few weeks. And this year, we're really hoping to highlight essential workers who bike to work and use multimodal forms of transportation to get to work. And we will be tabling at two yet-to-be-announced locations to highlight the stories of those essential workers. So we have a newsletter that goes out, and anyone who's interested can sign up for our newsletter by going to nhcat.org.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you so much.
And you can also connect with Devin by going to carenhv.org and clicking on the Contact Us link. After our interview, Sam updated the news about New Haven Coalition for Active Transportation's Bike to Work event. It will be at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, September 22nd, at the State Street train station's covered bike rack area with snacks and beverages. I just had knee surgery, so I'm not sure I'll make it on a bike, but hope to stop by one way or another and would love to see folks there. And finally, I touched base with my friend and fellow cyclist, Augustine Filomena, about a wonderful event he's planning.
So on Sunday, September the 20th, which the city of New Haven proclaimed as Matthew J. Finer Day, the New Haven Bicycling Club is sponsoring a bike ride for 10 a.m. to honor Matthew and all of his good work over the years as a bicycling advocate here in town. And everybody is welcome to come, but the bike ride that we're doing on that particular day is a 57-mile bike ride that was affectionately called the Lulu Ride, and Matt Finer would do this ride every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and he did that for years and years so that a lot of people would get into road cycling on a bigger scale. And because of Matthew's health issues and different business ventures, hasn't been involved with the club in the past few years. And we thought, you know, what better way to honor him than to do that bike ride on that particular day, on his day. If people do the ride, they could stop off at the marketplace in Guilford for a coffee and pastry on us. We will be buying coffee and pastry for anybody who wants to do the ride. So people are going to meet on the corner of Orange and Cottage Street. Very hopeful that Matthew will be able to do part of the ride, but hopefully show up just to greet everyone. And then possibly I would love for him, if he's feeling well enough, to do the ride with us. We encouraged some families and little kids and things that if people just wanted to ride out with us down Orange Street to East Rock, going up Farnham Drive, then, you know, that would be fun too.
You've been listening to The Forest and the Trees, Global and Local Perspectives on the Environment, with your host, Melinda Tuhus. Tune in on the second Saturday of every month at 9:30 a.m. here on WPKN 89.5 FM for more environmental news you can use.